Welcome back to Travels with Alicia. In this episode, I'll share my experience in Sapa, Vietnam. This northern town is known as the Switzerland of Vietnam. It's located 5 hours north of Hanoi, which is Vietnam's capital city, and 5 hours south of the border of China. In my opinion, you need to commit at least 2 nights because it takes a while to get there. We spent 3 nights and you could definitely stay longer. Sapa is located right next to Fansipan Mountain, which is the highest mountain in Vietnam. The area is known for hiking, waterfalls, and amazingly beautiful rice terraces. At first, I thought this location was more just for the people that were very adventuresome. I was aware that they had these 2 to 3 day excursions where guides could take you on hikes to villages and that you would stay and eat with locals. I had seen this on YouTube and I thought, oh, I don't think this is for me. But then I learned so much more about this area. Let's first start with a very quick history or background. Sapa was originally the land of the Hmong tribe. They're an ethnic group with their own language and culture, and they lived in China since 2700 BC. But in the mid-1600s, the Chinese began limiting their freedom, and they started migrating to Laos, Thailand, and Vietnam. There are 5 main ethnic tribes in Sapa today, but the Hmong is the largest one, and it represents over 50% of the hill tribe population. The name Sapa means sand village, and it was named this because that's where the local market would meet on the sandy area. The French first came to Sapa in 1901, and then in 1918, the Jesuits arrived. And when these Westerners arrived, they transformed Sapa into a beautiful hill station, along with a church, built hotels, tennis courts, an airport, and beautiful summer villas. Most of this was all abandoned or destroyed during the war. So what's Sapa like today, and what can you do there? It is absolutely beautiful. Tourism today has replaced agriculture as the main source of income. So let me share with you 6 things that you can do in Sapa. Number 1 is still the hiking. It's the most popular thing to do, and it's the main reason why most travelers go to this town. You can do these multi-day hikes where you would stay in these homestays. 1 to 3 days seems to be the most popular, and you can expect to pay between $20 and $40 per person per day. But that would include your meals and your accommodations. The guides are usually young women that speak English, and this is a really important source of income for their families. You would stay in a local house that are usually set up for these type tours and eat with the family. I'm sure it is quite the experience, and I would highly recommend it if it's something that interests you. I saw videos of people showing the homes, and while they're very simple, they're beautiful because they provide the blankets that are all made by the locals. There's no heat or air condition, so it does take some planning to make sure you're there at the right time of the year, but I'm sure it's an amazing experience that you would never forget. So number 2 is a very strange one, and it's on the list because I know there are people who are foodies out there. This is to try horse hot pot. So horse meat stew is one of the more unusual things to do in Sapa, but it's very, very popular. So in the town of Sapa, there's many hot pot restaurants, and the town's decorated like Christmas all year round. There's lots of twinkling lights everywhere, and these hot pot restaurants are everywhere. So they usually have different types of meat, but horse is the main ingredient, and they put beef and pork and buffalo and goat with it. The people of the Hmong tribe have used horse for generations for transportation, but then when the horse is not able to work, unfortunately, they use it for their hot pot. It's not something I think I'm recommending, but I know there are a lot of people who really do travel for food and like to try unusual things. The other hot pot they serve, though, is salmon hot pot. So that, again, they farm salmon in the area, so it's very popular. They have a lot of it, and that's something that probably most people would be able to eat versus the other one. But I will tell you, my recommendation for food is, why don't you try the Le Gecko Cafe? It's a beautiful yellow-fronted store right in the main square. It had over 1,200 reviews, and it's much better food than I would say. It's not a touristy restaurant. It has French influence, and this Gecko Cafe, they are also associated with a hotel and another full restaurant at a location close by. But the cafe is right there in the square, and the recommendation for most people was to try the chicken and sapa mushroom soup, and I did. It was absolutely awesome. And this is just a fun place to hang out, and they have a second floor, so you can sit upstairs and look out the window and see everyone in the town below walking around. Since we're talking about food, I will give you my one other restaurant recommendation, and that's the Chusu Kitchen. C-H-U-S-U. And this was rated 4.9 with hundreds of reviewers. The food was outstanding. I ordered the noodles dyed with beetroot, and they were served with a cream sauce with vegetables and pork. The noodles were absolutely beautiful. They were the reddest I've ever seen, and the cream sauce and vegetables were outstanding. The pork was fine. I feel like they could have left it out. The other pieces of the dish or the other parts of the dish were so good. My sister had crispy duck and vegetables, and her husband ordered some stir-fried greens, and they went out to the garden. We could look out the window, and there was a big garden there, and they picked the greens and cooked them right there in the open kitchen that was in the middle of the restaurant. So I highly recommend this. The food was very, very good in Sapa. They're not big on street food, but I did see locals grilling sweet potatoes, and I did try it, and of course, sweet potatoes are always good. So number three, I would say ride the cable car to the top of Fancy Pan Mountain. This gives you amazing views. On clear days, you can look completely out over the valleys below. And it's about $35 round trip. It takes 20 minutes to get up there. And then when you get there, it's still another 600 steps, but they do have a vernacular that you can pay just a few dollars to take you up to the top, which I highly recommend. Unfortunately, the Sapa weather can be fickle. Clouds can make or break the view, and when we were there, we had a lot of clouds, so we didn't end up going up there because we wouldn't have been able to see anything. But I have been told the end of March and April are the clearest months in Sapa and probably the best times to go if you want to go up to the top of the mountain and see the views. So number four is to hike to Love Waterfall. Waterfalls are another popular attraction in Sapa, and this one's located about 15 kilometers west of the town. And you can get people to take you there. There are taxis and different ways to get there. This is one of three waterfalls, and it's by far the most beautiful one. And what makes it so appealing is it's a little bit remote. So once you get to where this Love Waterfall is, you'll need to walk about a half hour through this forest to get to the falls. It's actually flowing into a stream, and there is a viewing deck on either side, so you can kind of climb up and see the falls close up. This waterfall actually starts from the top of Fancy Pan Mountain, so you don't get to see all of it, but this is a part where you'll get to see most of the waterfall. Number five is another waterfall. It's Silver Waterfall, and that's actually much easier to get to. It's located right on the main road, and it's between the Sapa town and the Love Waterfall. So it's about 3 kilometers before you get to the Love Waterfall, and you could easily do both waterfalls in one day. The Silver Waterfall, just because the way it's presented, looks bigger and more impressive than the Love Waterfall. It's basically on the side of a busy road, which for some people it makes it less appealing, but it's also much easier to get there. Number six, I will say, is my favorite, exploring Katkat Village. So you can walk down one of the main streets out of Sapa to Katkat Village, and it's pretty much all downhill to get there. It's the bottom of the Mung Ho Valley, and it's the nearest hill tribe. And so this is the one that most tourists do that aren't doing a lot of hikes. It was established in the 19th century by the Hmong family. This is a beautiful village, but I will say, again, these hill tribes now are mainly being supported by tourism. This has turned into a very touristic village. It's set up with attractions, and the hill tribe, they're all wearing the costumes, and you're able to take pictures of them and their town. They have restaurants and things that you can stop and rest and enjoy. I will say, it was very pretty. And some people don't like it because it's so touristy, but I will say, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was perfect for me and exactly what I enjoyed getting to see, you know, how they lived in this beautiful village. If you keep walking past Katkav Village, you're going to find some of these trails that will take you to other local villages. For us, that was enough. I think it took us about a half hour or 45 minutes to get to Katkav Village, and then we ended up taking a taxi back up to the town. So you can see it's doable for lots of different people. So next, I want to talk about accommodations. One of the reasons that I wanted to visit Sapa is the beautiful Hotel de la Coppola. I saw pictures and videos of this hotel, and I knew I really, really wanted to stay there. It's a 5-star hotel that opened in 2018. It's the only 5-star hotel of international standards, and it was designed kind of by the French history in the 20s and 30s. The architect, Bill Bensley, said he was inspired by the 1920 hats. And that's all I can say. I mean, just look up this hotel. If you forget the name of it, just look up the best hotel in Sapa, Vietnam, and it'll come up. Some of the highlights were the unbelievable outdoor viewing of the valley and the town of Sapa. They had a top-floor restaurant where the breakfast buffet was served. And I will say, the breakfast buffet was amazing. And they served so many different vegetables that I have never tried before. And I like microgreens. They had microgreens with pink stems. It was just, everything was different and beautiful. But what really sold me on this hotel is the gorgeous indoor pool. So even if you're there like we were, not in the best of weather, this pool was wonderful. It's a work of art. They have mosaic floor on the pool, red chandeliers, statues everywhere, big, comfortable lounge chairs by the pool, and they have wonderful service. So they would bring you like glasses of wine. I had the lollipop chicken drumsticks that came with lots of dipping sauces. So just grabbing a book and kind of hanging out there was just magical to me. So, but there are other beautiful hotels. There's a lot of new development, and so there are both 4- and 5-star hotels in the $30 to $90 price range. Many of them are new. Our hotel was $119 a night, and it included that full breakfast buffet. So that just gives you a sense. So next, I just want to talk a little bit how to get there. And I am just not going to waste your time. There are several options, but I will come right out because I'm very confident in this. The best way to get there is just to get a private driver. So I talked earlier about the French and the Westerners, the Jesuits coming and how they built all this, you know, airport and hotels and tennis courts. Well, there's nothing from that era there any longer. There is no airport. So you can't fly to Sapa. But the private driver, we asked our hotel one day in advance. They arranged the driver, and three of us with large suitcases were able to get there for $165. So it may sound expensive, but if you can split this with other people, it comes out to be the same or even less expensive than some of the other options. And this is door-to-door service. So we planned it, so we got dropped off kind of at the time we could check in. The other options, I will just tell you very briefly, and one of them that many people do are overnight trains. The trains take 7 to 8 hours, and it's true that I guess if you sleep on the train, you get to avoid a one-night hotel. But I did look into this a lot, and I did watch videos, and they didn't look that nice. And these are VIP trains. So there's actually 8 to 10 companies doing this. And so they're at all different price points. But very important is that these trains do not take you to Sapa. They take you to a place that's about 24 miles away or 38 kilometers, and you still have to get a taxi. And since they're overnight, most of them arrive. I saw people arriving. They were saying they get there at 6 in the morning. Well, you can't check in at 6 in the morning. It just didn't seem that great. And some of them were saying that they paid, you know, up to $35 to $45 a person to sleep on the train. And, you know, that could be, actually, that was for a four-bed room. So you would have to be sharing beds with other people if you're by yourself or just two of you. So anyway, the last option I'll mention is buses. And I think if I was by myself or if I was really trying to save money, I think I would just take a bus. They have day buses or overnight buses, and they range from $15 to $80. But when we were being driven, we would stop sometimes at the rest stops, and we saw large coach buses that looked absolutely fine. So first option, it would be always take a private driver. If you really need to save money, I would choose the bus over the VIP overnight trains. I guess the last piece of advice I could give you is if I was going to Sapa, I think I would target April or October. This is when the weather is more stable and they have sunny days and cool evenings. Since I was there at the end of February, we had such heavy clouds and fog. We really enjoyed our time still, and when the clouds did clear, because it's very, you know, they blow in and out, our jaws would drop at the beauty of the surrounding area. Another thing is, at our hotel, I did notice there were a lot of older people visiting. It's not just for the young and the adventuresome. There were people both from Asia and Westerners. It did seem like a more upscale crowd, and while they weren't dressed to impress, they definitely were not dressed to hike. They were just enjoying the beautiful hotel and the beauty of the destination. It reminded me that there's something for everyone. You don't need to hike or sleep in a village to explore the beauty of this beautiful mountainous town. I do want to point out that there were plenty of taxis and even these large golf carts that were like open-air golf carts that you could get and ride around town. So that just made it better for everyone, especially those who have difficulty walking any long distances. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Travels with Alicia. Sapa may be known for hiking, but there's definitely so much more you can do, and just being surrounded by the beauty is reason enough to go. Stay tuned for the next episode, where I'll cover the amazing beach town of Da Nang, Vietnam.